A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked the boy that was in the dugout what the score was of the game. And the boy responded, he said, "It's 18 to nothing, and we are behind." "Boy," the spectator said, "I'll bet that you're discouraged right now." "Why should I be discouraged?" the boy replied. He said, "We haven't even gotten up to bat yet." Hope needs to be held on to, even in the most trying and difficult circumstances. Claire Booth Luce is quoted as saying, "There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about those situations." Everyone needs to have something to believe in. We need something to hope for in this life. For hope to be real, I think that it needs to be based in reality oftentimes. Or put another way, hope needs to be based on something that maybe actually be attainable. As a young child, we oftentimes will hope for things that are just unrealistic. They're kind of outlandish and possibly even impossible by all human accounts. Right? We might hope for horses to fly or for people to become animals or whatever it might be. As children, because of our imaginations and our ability to be naive, because we possibly lack some wisdom and some experience from life, we are able to dream and hope for the impossible. These kinds of hopes and dreams are good in the sense that they can help motivate us to achieve incredible things. But the danger that we face, if the dreams are too outlandish, is the overwhelming feeling of defeat and disappointment. If all our dreams and ideas keep failing time and time and time again, we begin to lose hope that we can actually accomplish the dreams or the goals that we have. The hope that at times allows us to get out of bed and face another day can begin to dwindle if we don't see those horses start flying. There are many other things that we can place our hope in that are obtainable. But those things are going to take a lot of hard work often, and oftentimes those things require the hand, the blessing of God along the way. Last week, we began this study on this idea of hope and knowing who hope is and that Jesus Christ is our hope. And we looked at how to maintain hope even when life can become difficult, because we know for so many people right now, life is exactly that. Life is hard. It's challenging. We examined some of the promises that God made to Abraham. Abraham left everything that he knew and had because of the hope and the faith that he had in God and God's ability to fulfill his promises. In the book of Romans, Paul, throughout the fourth chapter, and I'm going to have you go ahead and turn there if you're following along in your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 4 and just stay there for the rest of the morning. So Paul, throughout the fourth chapter of Romans, goes back to the example of Abraham that we looked at last week to make his point with the readers. The gist of chapter 4 is that justification by faith, and what I mean by justification is being made right before God. So the gist of chapter 4 is that justification by faith has been taught even in the Old Testament. So I want to read, we're just going to start with reading chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Abraham was justified by faith, not by anything that he had done. We are told in verse 18 of the same chapter, it starts out by saying, "Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed that he would be the father of many nations." against all hope, Abraham in hope, the way I would maybe reword that so it makes a little bit more sense to us today is against all human logic and belief. In a situation that seemed impossible, Abraham believed that he would be the father of many nations. It seemed impossible. It seemed like one of those crazy childhood flying horses, unrealistic fantasies. Abraham's incredible, deep hope sustained him. Last week we looked and we learned that the promise that Abraham had hoped for took over 25 years to even begin to form. And then another 60 years for his first grandchildren to be born. As you live your life, how can you place your hope in God? How can you place your hope in His promises? Especially when they seem impossible. When they seem non-logical. When they seem just downright crazy. How do we put our hope in God? Let's be real. We don't see God physically. He doesn't physically hang out with us at the mall, the gas station, a Dairy Queen for ice cream. He doesn't hang out with us physically in our quarantined houses these days. He doesn't text, email, call, snap, DM, or Facebook message us. When we follow God, sometimes it will make no sense to us that we're putting our hope in this person, this being, this God that we can't physically see or necessarily get our text messages or emails or messages from. Sometimes people are not going to understand when we put our hope in this God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Hoping against all hope, it means to still be able to place your hope in God, even though your eyes may not tell you that you can hope in God. Right? Even though every logical part of your being says otherwise. Sometimes we must hope against all odds. But to do that in our humanness, we need something to base that hope on. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4. We're going to start by looking at verse 16 this morning. And in verse 16, it says this, "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all." We can hope against all odds. We can hope for things that seem unrealistic. We can hope for things that people would say, "What in the world are you expecting?" Because God's promise, His promises, they rest on His grace, not on our perfection, not on anything that we do. Number one, God's promises rest on His grace and have nothing to do with us. In the first part of chapter 4, Paul speaks on the issue of the law versus grace. That's in verse 13. For us today, we don't necessarily think of the issue of the law of Moses. That idea is kind of a little bit foreign to most of us. We think more in the line of with the thought of how do we get to heaven by being a good person? By how we act, by how we care for other people, by our deeds and not by God's grace. In verse 13 to 15, the discussion deals with the fact that Abraham's promises were realized through faith. They were made known through faith. They became true through faith, not because of the law of Moses. Abraham could place his hope in God because Abraham did not have to be sinlessly perfect in order for God to be faithful to his promises. Just think about it. If man were innocent on his own, then it would be impossible for God to be gracious to us. If man were innocent on his own, it would be impossible for God to be gracious to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, very familiar passage for most of us. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast." Abraham was promised that he would be the father of many nations. He was promised that the world would be blessed through him. He was promised that his descendants would be as the number of stars in the sky. If you look back at Genesis chapter 15. For Abraham, this was a great promise because when God asked him to leave his homeland, he would leave and he would lose everything that he knew. To Abraham, this could not make a lot of sense from a human perspective. He would lose his everything. From the honor and esteem he would get in his homeland to being torn away from his family back home. Yet Abraham trusts God. Abraham was justified before God because of his trust and his faith. Romans chapter 4, if you go back to the first couple of verses that we read earlier, it said, "If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God." What does Scripture say? It continues. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was justified before God because of his faith in God. God's promises were based in his grace, not in man's perfection, not in anything that Abraham could do. It was Abraham's faith that pleased God. Since we will never be sinless perfect, the only way that we can enjoy God's promises is through his grace. That's exactly what verse 16 reminds us of when it says, "The promises come by faith, so that it may be by grace." Abraham was able to continue on in faith as he waited over 25 years to have his first child by his wife. And then another 60 years before he saw his first grandchild. Just think about it. Because of Abraham's hope, we today get to enjoy God's promise of salvation. This great promise is guaranteed to those who exercise the same type of faith that Abraham had. A faith that loves Jesus to the point of wanting to be obedient to Jesus. Our hope is found in the fact that where we fall short, God's grace covers it for us. I want us to turn to, or look at verse 17 now in Romans chapter 4 again. Picking up verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are." We can hope against all odds first of all because of God's promises, that his promises rest on his grace and not on our perfection. And secondly, because God can and has done the impossible. God can do the impossible. Think about this. We talked a little bit last week about the fact that Abraham was 75 years old. His wife was 65 years old. They had no children. And then God tells them that they're going to have these descendants. Now, a man of this age can father a child, but for a woman, for a wife, for his wife, that gets a lot harder, a lot more difficult. If you are Abraham and Sarah, given their ages, what do you think you would be thinking? I'd be thinking that God is going to be moving fast in this situation. And I'd be wrong. He waited 25 years until Sarah was 90 to begin the process of populating the earth with Abraham's descendants. The only way Sarah would become pregnant was by God being able to do what seemed to be impossible. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, that we just read, is simply Paul quoting from Genesis chapter 17, back in the Old Testament, verse 5. And this is what it says there. It says, "No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." For I have made you a father of many nations. It's important to note here that the quote in Genesis that I just read, that I've made you the father of many nations, God is speaking before Abraham had any children in that quote. Yet God spoke it as if it had already happened. Abraham stood faithful before God. We can see this faithfulness in Abraham all through the book of Genesis. Genesis 12 and 15 and 17 and 22 all show Abraham's faithfulness before God. Abraham's hope was not hopeless because he served a God who can and has done the impossible. Verse 17 says, "God gives life to the dead." Now I think that the context that Paul could be speaking of is the womb of Sarah, right? But also realize that God gives spiritual life to those who were spiritually dead when they came to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." God makes us alive in Christ. Paul also alludes to the fact that God calls into existence the things that do not exist. God spoke creation into being. If God can make something out of absolutely nothing, if his very voice can cause the heavens and the earth to be created, why is it strange or weird that we would place our hope in him? Where else would we place our hope? No matter what your situation is today, no matter how scared you may rightfully be at this very moment, no matter how uncertain the future might be for you, God is with you. We do not always get what we want as far as the outcomes, but God will always do what is spiritually best for us. I want us to finish by reading verse 18. Picking up at verse 18 in Romans 4, it says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." We can have hope against all odds because God's promises rest on his grace and not on our perfection. because God can and has done the impossible. And then thirdly, we can have hope beyond all odds because God is the basis of our hope because of who He is. What better place can you place your faith than in God? Because Abraham knew that God was a God who gave life to the dead and calls into existence that which does not exist. He grounded his faith upon the hope of God's promises. He knew God, the all-powerful, the all-loving God. Abraham knew Him. Contrary to all human expectations concerning hope, Abraham, in hope, believed against all odds, all logic, all human understanding. Put it another way, given the timing of and the substance of the promise to Abraham, human logic would tell us that it was crazy for Abraham to place his hope in God fulfilling that promise. It was like hoping for that flying horse. But God defies human logic. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we have access to. A God that defies human logic. Abraham was able to believe in that which God had promised. Abraham had no hope in what man can do, but total hope of what God would do. What are you dealing with? What are you dealing with now, today? Where are you placing your hope in these uncertain times? Are you placing your hope in the things and people of the world? Are you placing your hope in your best friend? Are you placing your hope in your neighbors, your children, your parents, your spouse? Are you placing your hope in your deacons, your church friends, your pastor? You name it. In all those people and things you may be placing your hope in, please realize you will be let down at some point. I hate to say it, but it's true. As far as our nation is concerned, placing hope in a political figure or a party, it will let you down. They may seem to be your hero or savior for a few short moments, but in the end, in their humanness, they will let you down. Hope placed in God will bring you through what you are dealing with. As we studied last week, we were reminded that God does not lie. That God keeps His promises. When God says something, it is going to take place. The key to being able to have the type of hope that sustains us is to know God well enough that you will trust Him. That you'll trust Him. You have a good enough relationship with God that you've seen His faithfulness, that you've seen how He responds, that you've seen that He is a God that does not lie, that when He says something, He is going to fulfill it. God will keep every promise that He makes. My prayer is that your hope is not misplaced this morning. Our God is faithful and our God is strong. We can rely on God because of who He is. Do you think it might be time to rest in His grace instead of your works or the hope that you're trying to get from earthly people or earthly things? In Romans chapter 4, Paul shows us the great hope that each one of us can experience. The hope that is found through faith in Christ. Is there an area of your life that you need to trust God with today? And then have faith in God's ability to handle that area and allow your hope to be renewed. I pray that if there is that area in your life, if there are those uncertainties in your life that you're facing right now, that instead of putting your hope in the government, instead of putting your hope in people, instead of putting your hope in the church, put your hope in God, the God that never fails us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in this place to study your word. Lord God, we thank you for this story of Abraham and his faithfulness in you and how he had hope in life because of you and who you are and how you historically have been so faithful and have never lied and have always fulfilled the promises that you said. Lord God, help us as people today as we leave this place and we're facing uncertainties to not put our hope in anything except for you. Lord God, we love you and forgive us for the times that we are not faithful in trusting in who you are and what you do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.